You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Okay, and you're listening to the UFC Buzz Podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis. It's UFC Fight Night 136 this weekend. The UFC's first foray, finally, to Russia. It's at the Olympiakos Stadium in Moscow, of course, headlined by Mark Hunt against Alexei Oleinik. Yes, it's a difficult name to pronounce, but of course it's an opportunity for the Ukrainian to headline in Russia. There's never controversy far from fight sports. I'm joined this week by the one and only Jim Edwards, James Edwards to me, and his mother, and we speak today about the event. I know that you were out in Dallas for Darren Till last weekend, Jim. You're very close with Darren. Let's just quickly recap on that. Obviously, Till not winning his UFC World Welterweight title attempt against Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Gareth. It's always good to speak to you. Obviously, I got back from Dallas earlier this week. Disappointing, I guess, if you look at it from the British perspective. Darren Till doing everything in his power and actually making weight, 169 pounds on the Friday. But then, of course, unfortunately, the fight just didn't really ever start for him, landing one significant strike and then feeling the full force of Tyron Woodley in that second round and being submitted. It was it felt like a bit of an anti-climax being there, and Darren's not spoken much since, but it'll be very interesting to see how he kind of sees how the fight went, because it certainly didn't go the way any of us kind of expected it to.
Well, you and I were speaking about this last week, obviously, on the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill, and you know, my feeling was at the time that Darren needed to go for broke early. I knew that he's a very big man. He has problems making 170 pounds, or at least he has to really, really strip down in weight. And my feeling was go for it early, because I thought he would only become more weight drained and fatigued by the fact that Tyron is very, very good with hands on and is heavy handed. And of course, Tyron got hands on early and probably fatigued Darren even sooner, even though he said afterwards his game plan was to try and take it to the late rounds. I'm not sure I actually believe that in many senses. I'm sure if he'd have an opportunity in the second, he would have gone for it. But the one thing we have to say is how brilliant Tyron Woodley was, how focused he was, and the fact that Darren Till was very good afterwards in terms of fronting up and saying he's really going to learn from this experience.
Yes, 100% sure. I think a lot of credit has to go to Tyron. Just the way he handled all the pressure of the situation. He's obviously at odds with the UFC in some sense, but he proved to everyone that he is one of the best welterweights we've had in a very, very long time. On Saturday, a cut above Darren at this point in time, but like you said, he handled defeat very well, 25 years old, and I'm sure he'll come again. I'm sure he'll get another shot at the world title, but I'm sure it's a bitter disappointment for him. I think we'll soon hear of his next step, but and who knows, it could even be before the end of the year.
Yeah, and also, of course, Tyron Woodley, vastly experienced, great resume. I don't know if he really gets to match George St. Pierre. In my view, he doesn't. We're all coloured by the eras we've covered, and I obviously covered the entire era of George's reign as welterweight king. I think there's a way to go yet for Tyron, but certainly under Duke Rufus, he's become a very, very formidable fighter and deserves all the plaudits. So let's move on to the Moscow Olympic Stadium on Saturday night. We're going to look at the main card. Obviously, in the weigh-ins, there were two guys that failed to make weight. We've now got a catchweight fight, not bantamweight anymore, between Petr Yan and Jinsu Son. One of the guys is 137 pounds now, with one of our fighters not making the weight.
Yeah, I mean, he came in heavy this morning. I'm not there in Russia myself this week. I'm back in London, but I have colleagues over there in Moscow, and they said that it was a bit of a scary scene, actually, when Jin Susan actually made his way to the scales. He staggered a bit.
Yeah.
He looked very kind of uneasy on his feet. So he already had a very tough task in facing Petr Yan tomorrow, former ACB champion, very, very highly regarded in Russia, and it could be a standout night for him. I really do believe I believe before he was going to win this fight, but I'm even more convinced now, having seen the state of Jin Susan this morning.
Yeah, and even more heinous, really. Mayabek Tusumov, 5 pounds over the 155 pound. They're allowed a pound leeway, of course, a lightweight limit, where he came in at 161. 161 pounds in his fight with Desmond Green. And I think he's got to forfeit a large percentage of his purse now, hasn't he?
Yes, I believe he's actually got to forfeit 40% of his purse, which is a good chunk of change for someone that hasn't fought in a year. But I think luckily for him, he's got good backing behind him, good sponsorship. I mean, Tysimov is one of these fighters we kind of regard as one of the top 10, actually, who really just isn't ranked at the moment. He's such a talented fighter, but unfortunately has those visa issues, which means he can't get those big fights in America, can't get moving up the rankings. And of course, this is just going to be another big blow for him. Again, I've got few people in and around the kind of Tysimov camp who, when I reached out to them this morning, kind of explained to me that there was a last minute emergency and that he had a disruption in his weight cut. But like you say, Gareth, that missing weight by 5 pounds is a significant amount, and hats off to Desmond Green for still taking the fight. It's a very tough one for him. Hats off for him to for taking it.
Just throwing ahead slightly before we go into the odds here on the main card. Obviously, Jimmy Manua, we'll talk about that next week. I'd be delighted if you join me to discuss it. Obviously, he was going to be fighting Glover Teixeira in São Paulo, but now, of course, change of opponent is Thiago Santos before we get very busy with Conor McGregor's return against Khabib Nurmagomedov for the UFC lightweight crown in Las Vegas on October the 6th. That's UFC 229. But Conor McGregor and Khabib go head-to-head on their media tour in New York next Thursday. We're expecting fireworks. I'm expecting Conor to get psychologically, spiritually, maybe not athletically, but kind of get stuck psychologically into Khabib and try and bust him up mentally.
Yeah, for sure. We've seen that he's kind of started a war of words with some social media posts kind of relating to Khabib's kind of the people around him and the kind of their political ties. But, you know, I really do expect things to pick up next Thursday when they go to face to face in New York. It should be quite a scene, and it's, you know, whenever Conor's on the microphone, it's often worth tuning in for, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. Look, by all rights, it's been a very long time coming as we talk about UFC Moscow now. It's been a long time. There's always talks of kind of furtive things going on in the background, Dana White security in Russia, all kinds of kind of conspiracy theories as to why they haven't been there yet. Frankly, it's a long way. The time is right. There was even talk, of course, about Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov going to Moscow at one point, certainly in my dealings with people. Let's talk about the main card, first of all. The welterweight fight, first of all, between Alexei Kunchenko and the very long-serving Thiago Alves. William Hill have the odds here. 4-1 Thiago Alves. Alexei Kunchenko is 1-6 for the victory. Alves by TKO 15-2. Kunchenko by KO, TKO or DQ 4-5. Alves by decision 8-1. Kunchenko is 2-1 for decision. Submission 16-1 for Thiago and 12-1 by submission for Alexei. He's been a great servant to the sport, Thiago Alves. We talked about GSP just now. I remember when he got peppered to death by the jab of GSP in that fight. It was a terrific performance. He couldn't miss that night. It was a brilliant fight by GSP. Thiago has been through brain surgery. He's been through, which came up through his groin years ago. I remember writing about it. He's a terrific fella. The pit bull, of course. And you know what? he's not a guy to write off. He doesn't have the speed he once had. But he's almost, I don't want to say rejuvenated, because, you know, he lost last time out to Curtis Millender. He's lost to Jim Miller and Carlos Condit in the last 3 years. He's not that active anymore. Tends to be one fight a year. It was obviously early in the year he lost to Curtis Millender. We know what he can do. But, you know, William Hill have it a very tough fight for him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you look at Alexei Kinchenko, and he's one of the fighters on the card. He's not the most recognisable name, but then you take a look at his record. It's 18-0, former M1 champion, being brought in to really, I guess, have a bit of a big time fight with a big name. We all recognise Thiago Alves. So this has the makings of someone who's been matched against a big name in the UFC to kind of have a breakout performance. But like you say, you can never rule out Thiago Alves. Only one win in his last four, but he's very dangerous still. And, you know, he did prove against in that win against Patrick Cote that he can still go the distance if required. So, you know, I think it's very difficult to look at the level of the Russian given his previous competition. Not many recognisable names on his record, but you don't go 18-0 in MMA without being good. So I'm expecting a Kinchenko win. I'm probably going to go for it inside the distance as well, Gareth.
Okay, no, I wouldn't rule that out. I agree. I think I'm going to go Kinchenko by KO or TKO in 1, 2, or 3 rounds, but I think it's more likely as the fight progresses. Look, we move up to heavyweight next. Andrei Arlovsky, how up and down he is, of course. 2 wins, I think it's in his last 8. 6 losses. The wins over Junior Albini and Stefan Struve. Lost, of course, against Tai Tuivasa last time out in June. And again, this is a very interesting fight. You know, Abdurakhimov, local fighter, big man, very powerful. You know, he's got this amazing concoction of martial arts skills. Wushu Sandu, freestyle wrestling, kickboxing. You know, he's from Dagestan, like Khabib Nurmagomedov. You know, he's competed in all kinds of organizations in his life. He's been, you know, pro FC, WUFC, M1 Challenge. You know, he's in his, I think, fourth or fifth, maybe sixth fight in the UFC now. Wins over Chase Sherman, Walt Harris, and Anthony Hamilton. But maybe just fallen short against kind of slightly bigger names. Derek Lewis is a beast, of course. Lost to him 2 years ago. You know, I think the feeling is, for me, he has got knockout power. This guy Shamil, and I just feel that if he can get to Arlovsky, it would not surprise me to see him get a knockout victory in this fight. The odds with William Hill, by the way, Andrei Arlovsky 11-10 for the victory, Shamil Abdurakhimov 8-11, and I talk about the knockout there. KO, TKO or DQ, 11-4 for Shamil and 4-1 for Arlovsky. How are you seeing this one, Jim? I kind of pinned my colours to the mast already.
Yeah, I mean, Arlovsky's been the decision king of late, but I think that's a little misguiding if you've actually watched some of the fights. He's been badly rocked in quite a few of them. He did push Tai Tuivasa actually quite close in the last fight at UFC 225 in June, but I really do feel that this is the Russians there for the taking, the seat tomorrow evening. I think it's fair to say Arlovsky's best days are behind him. He did kind of have that rejuvenated patch where he went away and kind of reworked his game, but unfortunately I think people started to work it out once again. Like you were saying, Gareth, I think it's quite easy to pin. It's easy to pick this one in one way, but also this is heavyweight fighting, so anything can happen. I'm going to go with Shamil Abdurakhimov, though, by KO. I could even see it happening inside one round.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, or even early second, yeah. Look, onto light heavyweight, before we talk about the main event, Mark Hunt against Alexei Oleinik. Jan Blachowicz, who's put a great run together of late, looked fantastic against Jimmy Manua, I thought, last time out in March this year. Absolutely terrific, really on point, showing everything he can do against Nikita Krylov, who, you know, again, very dangerous opponent. You know, wins over recently over Emmanuel Newton and Fabio Maldonado. But, you know, I can't look beyond Jan Błachowicz in this fight. He's very accomplished. You know, he when he's on his game, he's a world beater, and he's 11-10 with William Hill for the victory. Krylov is 8-11. It's 4-1 for Błachowicz in method of result with William Hill by KO, TKO or DQ. Krylov 9-4 by decision for Błachowicz, 3-1. Krylov by decision 7-2. Submission 13-2 for the Polish fighter, and for Krylov by submission for the Ukrainian, it is 6-1. So I really do think it's going to be a great fight. It could be the fight of the night for me, and I do think Jan Błachowicz is either going to win by decision or even by a late stoppage.
Yeah, no, very, very interesting fight, this one. Actually, personally, I think this co-main event is a lot more interesting than the main event. We have two legitimate European light heavyweights going toe-to-toe here. The former KSW champion, Jan Błachowicz, has, like you say, been on an incredible run of late. I don't think anyone expected a turnaround in the result from his first fight with Jimmy Manuel last March, but he put on a hell of a performance at UFC Fight Night London, really kind of showed everyone that he does kind of belong in there with some of the best in the division. At the same time, we've seen Nikita Krylov take some time out from the UFC, quite puzzlingly. He's been fighting in Fight Nights Global over in Russia, but he makes his UFC return on Saturday. A very, very interesting fight. It's very hard to pick them because we don't know, I guess, we haven't really seen Krylov in there with the best in the world for a while now, not since 2016. We're not picking very differently this week, I'm afraid, but yeah, like you.
That means you're going to be pretty right then, Jim, I think.
I think so. I'm leaning towards the Błachowicz decision. That really kind of does feel like the most likely scenario of anything that could happen on tomorrow. But like, let's not rule out Krylov. He's shown before he can beat some of the best in the UFC, and he's been, you know, he has beaten some legitimate competition before. But I just, given the form, given what I've seen earlier this year from Błachowicz, I'm leaning towards him, and I think he's going to get it done with a unanimous decision.
Oh, well, that's a good call. I mean, but I do think Jan, if he sense the finish, he will really go for it. Look, moving on to the heavyweight main event, Mark Hunt, the legendary Super Samoan Mark Hunt, one of my all-time favourites, people as well in the sport, as well as fighter, against Alexei Oleinik. It's very hard for me to pronounce these Eastern European names, and I do struggle, and it does embarrass me, and I am blushing right now. Look, Mark Hunt, controversial this week, or maybe not controversial, raising criticism of Fabricio Werdum over doping. Mark is a very sage character. I don't think he's trying to promote the fight. Mark comes in, you know, he tucks his hands into his 4-ounce gloves, and he goes to work. It's as simple as that. Extraordinarily, he's now 44 years of age, still headlining in the UFC. I can remember a time when you were still in kind of prep school shorts, Jim, when Mark Hunt, when not that I ever saw you in prep school shorts, by the way, but I can remember a time when he had, I think he was on a 6-fight losing streak back kind of 7, 8, 9 years ago, and he'd come into the UFC. He lost to Sean McCorkle. He just lost to Melvin Manhoff in Dynamite. He'd lost to Gegard Mousasi, that's right, in Dream. He'd been submitted by an armbar by Gegard. And you just wondered whether there was ever any way that Mark was going to make it in the UFC. Well, 8 years later, having fought for them on and off, and having a record in his last 10 fights, if you discount the no contest against Brock Lesnar last year, obviously because of Lesnar's positive doping, he's gone. Mark has a draw, 4 wins and 5 losses in his last 10 at heavyweight in the UFC. But you know what? He's still a massive, massive draw. The betting, because he's capable of taking anyone out at any time in this fight. He is 4-7 with William Hill for the victory. Oleinik is 11-8. And wait for it. Mark Hunt by KO, TKO or DQ 4-6. By decision 10-1, by submission 20-1, it should be about 100-1. I might eat my words there, but Oleinik 11-1 for the KO, TKO or DQ, 7-1 by decision, or 9-4 by submission. Look, Hunt, for me is dangerous. It's so dangerous to write him off. Wins over Derek Lewis, losses in his last three to Curtis Blaydes and Alistair Overeem. But Alenik, with that kind of very dramatic victory over Travis Brown last summer at the big Vegas event in July, the loss to Curtis Blaydes, and then a win, of course, over Junior Albini. It's a big, big fight for both these men. My feeling in this contest is Olenek, who's the much taller man. It's always the way with these fighters. He's 2 or 3 inches taller. When the very, very tall men, I think, struggle against Mark Hunt. The shorter men have the chance to be more lateral with their punches against him. I think he's going to want to try and get the fight to the ground. If he can, I think he might well submit Mark Hunt. I can see that happening. He's a very tough man, Olenek. I'm so on the fence over this fight, Jim. I feel that Olenek's either going to get him to the ground and win the fight by submission, or he's going to get caught by that right hand or those left hooks, the leaping left hook of Mark Hunt, are going to be put to sleep. I'm kind of going to go for Olenek by submission in this fight. As I say, it's 9-4 with William Hill, whereas Mark Hunt by KO, TKO or DQ is 4-6. But I'm going to go Olenek by submission in this contest in the second round.
Yeah, no, you raise several good points there. I think one thing we do, you very, very quickly notice when you look at Olenek's record, is the amount of submissions that he does have. Of course, he's pulled off those two of only three Ezekiel chokes to ever be pulled off in the UFC.
Yes, yes.
Very, very interesting to see him be able to do that twice at the highest level of the game, you could say, at the age of 41. Unfortunately for him, I think he's coming up against someone with one of the thickest necks in the UFC in terms of Mark Hunt. So whether he's actually going to be able to pull off that submission is another thing altogether. I do think you have a great point, though. If he gets this to the mat, we've seen that Mark Hunt find it very, very difficult, just given his body type, to actually get back to his feet a lot of the time.
You can tell him that, Jim.
I'd never tell him that in a million years. But, I kind of do expect Olenek to be very, very dangerous. And like you say, there's a lot of opportunities there for submissions if he does get it down to the ground. But, and this is a big but, Mark Hunt hits harder than as anyone in the UFC at the moment. Perhaps Francis Ngannou will give him a run for his money, but when Mark Hunt hits you, normally they go down.
It's not just, for me, Jim, it's not just the Super Samoan's power, it's how brilliant he is with his timing and his short punches when he gets on the inside, and how effective he is. He has great acuity in his punches, but he is so accurate, he is so economical. That's why I think he's become so beautiful to watch.
Yeah, no, 100%. He's always thrilling to watch, and sometimes these punches come out of nowhere. I always remember that KO of Roy Nelson with that beautiful, just short uppercut that took Roy down. It was something to marvel at. And the only thing I get concerned with riding the Olenek train is the amount that he gets hit and the damage that he gets taken at the age of 41. All of this mounts up, and I'm going slightly different with you for my main event pick. I'm going to go Hunt by KO.
Yeah,
I really do. I know the odds are, a bit short maybe, but I still
think 4-6. Yeah, I know. Yeah. 4-6, Jim. 4-6.
I still feel it's the most likely scenario out of everything. Though, if you're going to go the other way, I kind of would say that the submission for Olenek is looking pretty tasty as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can get 13-2 by Olenek to win in round two, round three, 10-1, round four, 18-1, round five, 25-1. And as you say, Mark Hunt knockout. If you want to do round betting with Mark Hunt, 5-2 in the first round, 7-2 in the second, 8-1 in the third, 14-1 in the fourth, and 25-1 in the fifth. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. We cannot wait for the fights. Jim, thank you very much for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Gareth. I'll just say one last thing. Let's pray this doesn't go five rounds, because at the ages of 44 and 41, by the time we get to round five, the gas tanks could be low and the action could be slow. So let's hope for an early night in the main event.
I said that years ago when Bigfoot and Mark Hunt fought, and I saw one of the bloodiest, brilliant, most brilliant five rounds, 25 minutes of heavyweight boxing I think I'll ever witness. I know it was slightly tainted afterwards with testing and so on, but you just never know. Mixed martial arts, expect the unexpected. My thanks to Jim Edwards. I'm Gareth A. Davis, signing off for the UFC William Hill Buzz podcast. I'll see you next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.